You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Cocoa, 99.9 FM. Brothers and sisters, I'm feeling real good because it ain't
over. Right before I die, I gotta... Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Men of God, mighty men and women of valor, we thank God for you listening in. I thank God, amen, for our church mother listening in. Oh, glory to God. Mother Linda, we thank God for you. We see you on social media. Thank God for WWBC, Brother Danny, who's making it happen down here at the radio station. And he's a good man of God. We thank God for him. I have a wonderful man of God in the house with me. This is the Tuesday broadcast. Minister Alex, we have him right back. Praise God. And just give the audience a quick shout out and tell them who you are, man of God. And we're going to jump right into this topic.
Quick shout out. Hello. My name is... he calls me Minister Alex. Alex is my middle name. My first name is James. How's everybody doing out there?
All right. All right. Yeah. Well, hey, I can't help what I want to call him. Yeah. You know,
everybody that has known me since I was a child has always called me Alex. That's it. Yeah, that's just it.
So. That's it. I can think of a few choice things to call him every once in a while. You know, being my buddy, though, I hold off. All right.
Probably nappy head back then when I was younger, boy. Who had some peasy head?
Glory to God.
Anyway.
Well, thank God. We've been talking about some things that have been going on with the culture, with this nation, the influence that's going on in this nation, how the world, this governmenting system is even going after our children to manipulate, to brainwash, come on, to influence, amen. They're trying to put it in them. And to get it to flow through them just like a fluid would. Come on, they're trying to influence our children. Oh, glory to God. They're brainwashing our children. As a matter of fact, they're doing it even through the school systems. I thank God, amen, for our governor. He's getting a bad rap, and that's by, you know, that's because of the media's trying to make him out to be a bad guy because, you know, he's putting a halt to some of the things that they want to teach our children. You know, I was sharing with Minister Alex, I said it's you know, that we have a lot of people that are upset because they're saying, well, you know, he's stopping them from teaching black history. No, the black history is not the problem. It's all the other stuff that they want to tack on to it. Come on, the two mamas, the two daddies. We need to know this type of stuff. Come on, and sometimes you're only hearing one side of the story. Oh, glory to God. And I'd rather not my children, which is my grandchildren, now my children are grown. I don't want my grandchildren being exposed and taught things. And I bind the enemy right now that I'm discerning in Jesus' name. I bind the devil in the mighty name of Jesus. I apply the blood of Jesus over this radio broadcast, over this place, and over our lives. In Jesus' name. Yes, it might be upsetting some folks. Oh, glory to God. But you need ears to hear. Sometimes, praise God, we think that we know it all. But even the media, they're worse than the, you know, they used to say, how do you know when a lawyer's lying? Every time he opened his mouth, mm-hmm. a car dealership. Every time the media tells so many lies. Oh, glory to God. And they're trying to influence God's people also. And so we got to begin to get our information from the third heaven. Come on, from the throne room. Because a lot of information that's being dallied out to us, given out to us, is to manipulate us and to get us to buy into this system or the things that they're trying to tell us. You know, we're looking, let me show you how bad it is. You can look at a man who has, you know, who's dressed like something dressed in a way that he wants to be dressed. And, you know, and they'll, the system of this world is trying to get you to call them
something else.
Something else. Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, use my words now. Call them something else. Well, guess what? I got to be true to myself. I can't lie to myself. Come on. If I see an orange, I have to call it an orange. You want me because you're in some type of altered ego reality world. You want me to call a banana an orange. I can't do that. Come on. And it's not that we hate people. It's not that we hate individuals. We don't. Amen. We're called to love everybody. The Bible says that our love should abound towards all men. Come on. We shared the gospel, you know, to people that we shared the gospel to everybody. You know, we're not supposed to, you know, we're supposed to tell people about God. But we can't lie to ourselves. We can't lie to ourselves. We can't change our language just because you want us to change our language. I thought we were living in a nation where, you know, there's freedom of speech. Oh, glory to God. But as of late, come on, it don't seem like we're living in a nation where there's freedom of speech. Let me show you something. I'm going to read this here, then I'm going to turn it over to Minister Alex. Oh, praise the Lord. But, you know, we got to even be careful because our government is even trying to influence us into a lot and into behaving a certain way. And, well, Revelations 2:14, we see Balaam told King Balak. Balaam was a godless prophet, come on, and he told King Balak how to get Israel to commit sin by enticing them with sexual immorality and food sacrifice to idols. And so here we see it's kind of like what's going on now. We have a lot of witchcraft in high places. We have snake spirits in high places. Praise God. I've seen that there's a snake spirit in the White House. Oh, glory to God. And I'll leave that at that. A lot of things going on. And so I'm just telling it like it is. Amen. You know, sometimes it's not, you know, people, you know, they're going to, this is for people to have ears to hear. And this caused Israel to fall into transgression due to these traps. And God unleashed a deadly plague upon them because they were influenced by another government. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to say that. By another government, and they went into sin. Oh, glory to God. And they began to do sexual things. Well, what's the big push? Sex. You know, sex. It's the big push now. All in our schools. We want to teach your kids about sex. We want to teach your kids. We want to literally show them pictures of two individuals having sex, not of the same, of the same sex. They want to show pictures. Come on. And we need to understand that they're going after a generation. And if you win that generation over, because some of you all, you understand what I'm talking about, because in school, they stop teaching about creation and begin to teach about what? Evolution. And so some now, we're dealing with people that say that I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. Why? Because these seeds were sown, though the devil worked by a seed system also. He works by a seed system. The Bible says that Jesus told a parable, and he says the sower went forth to sow seeds. Well, guess what? Satan works that way also. A lot of stuff that you're seeing in your children's life. Okay, all right. You're seeing the fruit from the seed that was sown. Go ahead, man of God. I'm going to let you jump in here.
Oh. So you want me to take the heat this time? Okay, that's fine. Yeah. You know, going back to Balaam and Balak, it's interesting, you know, because the prophet of God, the prophet, the prophetic ministry is the ministry that sees God and hears God and tells the people what God is saying. So check this out. The prophet was not the king. The prophet did not have the authority in the country. But the prophet told the king what he could do to bring evil into the country.
Right. He was a double agent prophet, as a matter of fact. He worked both sides of the track. That's why I called him a evil prophet.
Yeah.
An evil man.
And the thing is, the body of Christ is the exact same way. You see, we've been made prophet, priest, and king. We're the ones that hear God, see God, and we have the authority to bring his will into the earth and to bring his will to pass. And the problem is, going back to the loyalty thing, is the problem is we have to be loyal to the kingdom. We have to be loyal to what the word of God says. And regardless of what it makes people do and how it makes people react, we have to care more about God's reaction. Mm-hmm. You know, like you were saying, like, you know, we're voting for people and they're bringing in evil. You know, I remember you talking about, you know, the gay agenda and the LGBTQ agenda. I remember when I was living in California, my family was in there from 98 to 2002. My first daughter went to kindergarten. She was like 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And so back then, this is, you know, we're talking 1999. They would go to the library, you know, and a librarian would like pick a book and read it to them. And then she would come home and tell us what we read today. So she's like 4 years old, 5 years old in kindergarten. And we're like, okay, so what did they teach you today? You know, what book? She said they pulled out a book and the book is called My Mom's New Roommate. Mm. This is back in 2000.
My God.
It was a lesbian book saying my mom's new roommate is a woman. It was two women living together, you know. They've been trying to push that for years, but it's just now, well, since 2008, we've had people in authority that are saying that's okay, you know.
They're normalizing it. They want it to become common to the point that guess what? You won't even speak out against
it. No. And the reason why we're seeing it in the streets, the reason why we're seeing it in the schools is because we voted for it. You know, the Bible says when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked are in authority, the people groan. But what we as Christians don't seem to understand is that we live in a time where we get to decide who's going to be in authority. Mm-hmm. You know, back in biblical days, the person in authority had the biggest sword and the biggest army. Mm-hmm. Now, we put them in there based on who we vote. So you have to hear from God. Say, you know, Father, I like what this person is saying, but God, what do you have to say about it? We have to hear from God, and then when he tells us to vote a certain way, it doesn't matter how it makes us feel. I've got a friend of mine who the last couple of elections, she was asking God, who should I vote for? And God told her who to vote for because of what was coming down the road, and she didn't like it.
Oh.
But she did it anyway.
Oh,
she man of God.
I was preaching about communism. I go back and listen to some of my messages that I was preaching. You know, people. I know people are calling me crazy, but guess what? I was preaching about the socialism and the communism that they're trying. That's trying to come upon this nation. Praise God! I was preaching some of the things that we're seeing now. Mm-hmm. I was talking about it. Oh, glory to God! And it's here now. It's showing up at the door. But guess what? The people. The ones that kept quiet about it, oh, praise God, now it's the time to speak up. The ones that thought that some of the things that were being said and put out there, now it's time to speak up. It's time to start praying. Come on, stop watching, looking at what the enemy is doing, I want freedom. I want freedom for my children. Come on. I want freedom for my grandchildren. I don't want them to go up under a socialist, communist, government,
mm-hmm.
of glory to God, where their freedom and their rights are being taken away. Come on.
Right? Yeah. I'm going to tell you something that God showed me a few years ago. He said socialism is voluntary slavery.
Yeah.
And it's worse than the Sikh. See, because like in the black community, when we think of slavery, we think about what the black community, what we came out of. You know, the slave ships, you know, the getting beaten, the hung, lynched, whatever. But God told me that there's two ways you can make a person a slave. Number one, you can break them you can break their spirit and break their will. You just continually pound on them and take away and take away and take away. And eventually you'll break that person's spirit and then they'll do whatever you say. That's what we're used to seeing. But socialism is worse because socialism doesn't break your spirit. Socialism convinces you that if you give me control of your life, I'll take care of you.
Right.
And so socialism, you give your spirit to them.
Yeah.
You give your will to them.
Yeah.
And so what's been happening is that we keep getting these promises from the government. If you vote for me, I'll make sure you get this. I'll make sure you get that. And so we're just giving our will over to them. And then when these ungodly people get in power, they kind of have.
They don't even do 5% of what
they say they're going to do. But then they start doing all this other stuff. And you're like, hey, what's going on? It's like, nope, you put them there.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm glad you're saying that because I was able to get some nice, very nice furniture one day that I saw online on Facebook Marketplace. I was, you know, wondering why I was getting this. I got it very cheap. And I had saw this furniture in a furniture store prior. But this person was from, I believe it was from Switzerland or something, a socialist nation. And he was over here working. And I asked him why was he going. Well, I put it this way. He was, his wife couldn't adjust to this system, to this capitalist system. She couldn't adjust to the fact that, guess what, you know, because they just get up and they just go to the doctors. Come on. Now you got to have insurance. There's certain, you know, things you get. Choices.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she wanted to go back up underneath that system, and she couldn't handle it. Come on. Because sometimes you can take a bird out of a cage. I had a bird for a short period of time,
wow.
And I would, you know, let him loose on the porch. Come on. But then I would come home sometimes, and he'd be back in his cage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And some people are so used to being caged up or have been influence that, guess what, it's okay that, you know, let us put you in a cage
because it's safe.
Yeah, because it's safe. Let us cage you up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyways, look at this here. Let me see. And this is a part of the brainwashing. You know, it's amazing that you know, and I'll just call it that. I'll call it brainwash. Let me just say this here. We don't hate nobody. I can't tell people what to do in their bedroom, but I don't have to let you force things down my children's throat. Mm-hmm. Oh, glory to God. We have two incidents in the Bible where this spirit, because I'll just call it a spirit, you know, you know, we love people, but we understand that there's a spirit realm, and the spirit realm influences people. But we have incidents in the Bible with Sodom and Gomorrah, where these men were so driven by this spirit. Come on. That they literally came to Lot's house trying to pull these angelic beings out of that house. Come on. And Lot was trying to, you know, stop them. And the Bible says they were literally so busy trying to force their way, because, come on, you give the devil an inch, you'll take a mile. And because we see that now, we see this spirit driving people to force things on us. And the Bible says that the angels had to literally blind the eyes, come on, of these individuals that was influenced, demonically influenced, oh, glory to God, and they begin to grope around trying to find the door until they were exhausted. They spent all that time out there, probably till daylight, I believe the daylight came, trying to find the door, come on, to that house, to get in that house. That's how hard the spirit drives them. Okay, all right. The Bible says, in the book of Judges that there was a Leviticus priest, and this Leviticus priest, you know, as a matter of one day I was in the, I won't even say it, but there was a Leviticus priest, and he stopped into this particular city to rest overnight, and he finally had someone that took him into their house. They didn't have Hotel Sixes, Holiday Inns, and stuff like this, because he was probably thinking he was going to have to sleep out in the middle of the court, and the man said, no, baby, you can't sleep out here. Come on, come on to my house. And so the Bible says later on that night that, guess what, men that were driven by demonic spirits. We're talking about the spirits, not the people. You know, when I look and I see people that are living outside of their character, not living the way God has ordained for them to live, I feel sorry for them. Because I know that they're under demonic influence. Come on. And they need help. And so this is not to pick on anybody. Come on. But this is to say that, hey, we see that this spirit is trying to influence the next generation. Oh, glory to God. And control the next generation and make it common and normalize it for the next generation. I want to drive this next generation further into sin. Come on. Do you understand that when this type of spirit wants God to bring judgment on this nation. Okay, whoop, there it is. And so here they are. They're trying to force and knock this door down. Come on, trying to get to this Leviticus priest. They didn't want the man's daughter. The man said, "I'll send my daughter out, and I'll send the priest's wife out." They didn't want them. They wanted. Come on, they wanted the priest. Come on, they wanted the priest. They wanted to do this act to the priest, and so finally the man took the priest's wife, and the Bible says that they raped her and pillaged her. I'm trying to find a word, all night long. Oh, glory to God. I bind the spirit that you're allowing me to discern, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And so we see incidents in the Bible where this spirit would drive people to literally attack people, to knock down doors. Well, what's going on? They're trying to knock down doors. You know, they're trying to move the ancient landmark. The Bible says don't move the ancient landmark. There's just some things you don't need to move. Come on. Oh, glory to God. When you know, okay, all right. Boy, you know, I tell you. And so it's not like we're not picking on people. But we understand that, guess what? The enemy came and the enemy sowed seeds in your life, okay? So whether you were watching on television, come on, I was a little kid and my parents had HBO, and I remember this here movie. It stole my innocence. What's the name of that movie? The Window Washer. And this man was going around washing people's windows, and the housewives would invite him in, and he was having intercourse with the housewife. Well, guess what? That sowed a seed in my life. Come on, it sowed a seed in my life. It made me promiscuous, where guess what? I was just going from woman to woman, you know, and it jacked me up. Well, the enemy does that. He comes to sow seed. Come on. And so you that are struggling and dealing with this spirit, excuse me, you that are struggling and dealing with this spirit, these perverted spirits, oh, glory to God, guess what? You have had seeds sown into your life, whether it's through porn, somebody watching porn in front of you, whether you was exposed to these different type of things, oh, glory to God, whether you was exposed to somebody taking advantage of you, somebody took advantage of you, somebody put their hands on you. I got to check in my spirit. Come on. That should not have put their hands on you. Come on. Oh, glory to God. And so there are seeds that are sown. But you know, the wonderful thing about this is that guess what? These corrupt seeds, these ungodly seeds, because we see that God sows seeds also, that you can corrupt those, you can curse those seeds. Oh, glory to God. We curse every seed that was sown in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. And we decree and declare that it shall not bear fruit any longer in Jesus' name. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Those that are listening to me, seeds that have been sown, you got to guard your children's mind. You need to repent for not guarding your children's mind. But in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, glory to God, I want you to call out your children's name, and I curse every corrupt seed that's been sown in their lives. Oh, glory to God. I decree and declare that it shall not bear fruit in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. It shall not bear fruit any longer in Jesus' name. Oh, glory to God. Go ahead, man of God. I tell you what, ooh, glory.
What we were talking about out there a little while ago, the reason why God chose Abraham is because God says, I know God's, the reason why God chose Abraham to be the father of all nations is because Abraham would command his children to walk in righteousness. That's actually like in Genesis 18, where it talks about how Abraham is interceding for Sodom. God says, shall I hide from my friend Abraham the thing that I'm about to do? Then God says, the reason why I'm talking to Abraham is because I know him, and I know that he will command his children to walk in righteousness. Abraham didn't even have kids yet. But God could already tell by Abraham's character, because of God's relationship with Abraham, that when I tell Abraham something, he does it. So I know when he has children, he'll do his children the same way. We're supposed to command our children to walk in righteousness, not ask them or suggest to them, but we command them. We order them to. As long as we have them, so that way when they go out on their own, righteousness is already in them. I know we're running out of time. I got to say this really quick. This is something I learned. 80% of how a person is programmed as far as how they relate to other people is programmed into them by the time they're 8 years old. That's just how the human being is, the way our minds are. We learn how to deal with people. 80% of how we deal with people is trained into us by the time we're 8. That's why the enemy always goes after kids. That's why these school systems are trying to push this stuff down our kids' throats before they turn 10 years old. Like the whole thing that DeSantis wrote, yeah, it struck down. Yeah. They're saying, it's called Don't Say Gay. That's not what it was about at all. Yeah. All DeSantis was saying, we don't want our children learning this sexual stuff while they're still in the first, second, and third grade. Yes. Why? Because they're not 8 years old yet.
Yeah.
They're trying to get that stuff in kids' minds so that, because Kasika's like, whatever you allow into somebody's mind, that's how the enemy attacks them.
Yeah.
So these little children are walking around with all of these thoughts, confused thoughts as far as, am I a boy, am I a girl? Yeah. They're trying to hit them with that stuff while they're kids.
Yeah, confused.
Because their minds aren't developed yet. And so then when they hit a certain age, they've already decided that, well, this must be what I am. And by that time, it's almost too late. Nothing's too late for God, because the word of God can always change things. But we as parents, we have to recognize what's going on.
Yeah.
The enemy is coming after your kids because he wants their minds perverted before they become adults.
Yeah. All right, my pray. God. All right. This is Thomas Robinson and Minister Alex of Kingdom Sounds. Amen. A ministry of Victory International Praise. We love you. God bless you. We're out of time. Bye-bye.
Good evening, and thank you for listening to our broadcast. I want to take a moment and invite you to our marriage conference, March the 16th and 17th. The location is 250 North Babcock, 250 North Babcock. That's Victory International Praise Church, 250 North Babcock in Melbourne, Florida. The Bible says we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And a lot of times marriages are going through some things because we do lack knowledge. The Bible says to dwell with your spouse according to knowledge. And so we want to give you some knowledge and even some wisdom. And so once again, the address is 250 North Babcock, Melbourne, Florida. We will be starting at 7 p.m. I pray that God will stir the hearts of even the spouses that you don't even believe would be willing to come, that God would stir their hearts to come and to be there. All right, God bless you. We love you.
You're listening to WWBC 99.9 FM Cocoa, 94.7 FM Rockledge, and 100.7 FM Melbourne, Palm Bay, and the beaches.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. I'm often asked that among all of Chuck Colson's work, Breakpoint commentaries, books, speeches, important statements like the Manhattan Declaration, what I consider to be the most powerful thing that he ever wrote. Without hesitation, I always point to the opening and the epilogue of Dancing with Max. That's a book authored by Emily Colson about her son and Chuck's grandson, Max. In Dancing with Max, Emily tells the story of being a single mom raising a child in an age when autism was far less understood, including by her own father. As a child, Max struggled to make sense of the world and his emotions, and his mom struggled to find a school that could accommodate him. Overwhelmed, Emily describes how she prayed, "Do you see this, God? I know you're watching, I know you're in this, but we're at a dead end." Well, the book goes on to describe just how God proved that he did indeed see Max and Emily, and how he was with them every step of the way. One of the most important breakthroughs, according to Emily, was what she calls picture talks. Emily learned to communicate with Max through drawing pictures, something Emily is, by the way, quite good at. Well, Chuck and Max certainly shared a special bond. As Chuck would relate in his contribution to Dancing with Max, it took an awful lot for a type A overachieving former Marine like Chuck to get down on his knees and play Legos. Though Chuck championed throughout his ministry the idea that every single human life has infinite value, it was Max who brought that lesson home for Chuck. Here's how he put it. Max forces us to raise the most important question of our age. What does it mean to be human? If the geneticist and science for science sake crowd were to have their way, we would weed out the unfit.